Or nobody's there then? Maybe somebody signed in and they signed out?
Maybe nobody called in.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. Except maybe they heard silence and dialed in.
Yeah, it should.
Let's try it again.
You trying to dial into it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that. Are we ready to start? Okay. If anyone is dialed into our conference call number, you're on mute for the time being. When we have public comment, we will unmute, so we won't be able to hear you. You won't be able to. Hopefully, you're hearing us. This is March 18th, 2020, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act. This is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. After our flag salute, I'd like to observe a moment of silence. We want to acknowledge the passing of a longtime volunteer in our township, Lou Perry. I don't know if my colleagues who knew him want to just give a little background on.
Is that time now you'd like to do that? Yeah, I would like to say something. I had befriended Lou Perry many years back and worked with him on numerous occasions, but I just want to say that Lou was a steward of the township. He gave back and volunteered as a member, as well as his family. He was a member of our Board of Adjustment for numerous years. He was a lifetime member of our volunteer fire department, and most people remember him for his work with the Voorhees athletic departments, working with the football teams, wrestling, and they were his two big sports, football and wrestling. And in fact, there is an award named after Lou Perry called the Lou Perry Citizens Award that is awarded each year to a young individual that shows those community examples. So he will be greatly missed, and I just wish his family well.
In addition, in the moment of silence, we generally recognize our servicemen and women. I'd like to note that there were two servicemen killed in Iraq since our last meeting, as well as several casualties. And I'd also like to note appreciation to our first responders during this time. So with that, we'd all rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty, and justice for all. Thank you. So, first item of business would be the minutes of the regular meeting on March 4th, 2020. If anyone has any comments to those, or if there's a motion to accept those minutes.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes of the Lebanon Township Committee meeting of March 4th, 2020.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, we would open the meeting to public comment limited to agenda items only. So we will unmute. What we'll do is we will press star 5 to
twice.
I think we'll press star 5.
All participants are unmuted.
Now again.
Star 5 again.
Yep. And if you'd like,
all participants are muted and they can unmute themselves.
If any member of the public would like to make a comment, please press star 6 and then you can make a comment. But again, limited to agenda items only. There'll be a second public comment later in the meeting. Hearing no comments, we'll now press star 5 one more time.
All participants are muted.
All right. Thank you very much. So we have three resolutions for tonight. The first is from our CFO, Resolution 32-2020. This is a resolution to transfer money from some accounts to other accounts based on some invoices that came in after January 31st.
Did you close the public comment?
That's what I was going to say. I didn't want to interrupt.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, I was going to.
Just for the minute.
Is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. I closed it with star five.
Closed it.
Sorry. Okay.
We're trying our best.
So now resolution 32-2020 transfers. A total amount of $3,776.37 to several different accounts for expenses that came in after December 31st. Any discussion or motion to pass Resolution 32-2020?
I'll make a motion to pass Resolution 32-2020 transfers.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next resolution, and this is the first piece of business related to the COVID-19 issues. This is to authorize the application for the temporary reassignment of and request for a waiver for our Special Law Enforcement Officer Class 3s to serve as Special Law Enforcement Officer Class 2s during the COVID-19 pandemic, and this will be contingent on approval of the application by the Police Training Commission. We would then reappoint those officers to be so-called SLEO Class 2s. The background is we have four officers in the township that serve exclusively in the schools. These are fully trained, fully empowered officers that are retired from regular service. The state has allowed us, as of yesterday, to let them serve as Class 2 officers. So in discussing with the chief, we wouldn't necessarily need them today, but if we have an officer or two that comes down with the coronavirus, this allows the chief more flexibility in staggering his staffing, bringing them in. The waiver from the Class 2 is that they're allowed to work even 40 hours a week as required. He's spoken with the officers. They would accept their same rate of hourly pay, and this would unwind itself when the pandemic is viewed to be not an emergency anymore. Any discussion from the committee, or is there a motion to adopt Resolution 33-2020?
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 33-2020.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then we have another resolution contemplating the current situation, which is Resolution 34-2020, and this resolution is to authorize, given that we may end up canceling meetings on short notice in the next few weeks, depending on how this epidemic unfolds, this authorizes the mayor, and in the absence of the mayor, the chief financial officer, either one of us, subject to availability of funds, for us to authorize disbursements, authorizing payment for certain reoccurring necessary expenses, and in any case, these expenses would then be placed at the next bill meeting list for full disclosure to the public. So again, this would be, I guess, asking the attorney, would we pass a resolution to cancel this when
yes.
the situation? So this goes indefinitely, but we would anticipate a resolution to rescind this power when the pandemic is passed.
Right. I would also argue that if the state of emergency is lifted, it's going to sunset on its own accord, but I would
That's
take a formal action just to clarify.
So this will go until rescinded by the committee, which we would anticipate when the state of emergency resolves. Any discussion on this? Is there a motion for Resolution 34-2020?
I'll make that motion of Resolution 34-2020, payment of reoccurring expenditures.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So now we have a couple items of old business. The first is the matter of Harlan and Leslie Parker. They were given permission some time ago to have a trailer on their property while they're constructing their new home. They offered to come tonight. We told them it probably wasn't necessary. They have an email before us that they hope, as of a week ago, they hope this was their last extension. Of course, they don't know how their contractors will keep functioning and how the inspection process will go, but they have been making good progress, so they are asking for another extension for having the trailer on their property at 23 Dewey Lane.
Yeah, the house looks beautiful. I rode by there. I didn't expect to see a whole house there, so.
No, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Any other discussion, or would someone like to make a motion to extend?
A motion to extend this to the Parkers for another 90 days.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next, a meeting or two ago, we authorized the police chief to advertise for new police officers. That has closed. He's received several qualified applications, and he will be conducting some interviews. He is asking that, he's offering for the township committee to schedule those interviews. So the topic before us is to schedule a special meeting. Currently, we're thinking April 1st, if that works for everyone. That's the night of a regular meeting. And what I would ask in the motion for the chief is that we schedule to start at either 5 or 5:30 p.m., if the committee can make that. And that is contingent upon whether we have two officers to interview or three officers. So if the chief, between now and next meeting, tells us, well, between now and the requirement of the clerk to post this meeting, to notice this meeting, he can tell us whether it's two officers, then we would start at 5:30. If it's three officers for interviews, we'd start at 5 o'clock. Any discussion around that? I'm taking that then that people are generally available at either time.
We're probably all going to be home.
So, is there a motion to... The motion would be to set a special meeting at 5 or 5:30, depending on feedback from the chief?
Yes.
On April 1st.
I see no problem with that.
About 5:30.
Well, if he wants us to meet with three...
Then it's five.
Can we do one at the other end of the meeting? It's kind of a...
We don't know when that other end is.
That's why we always try to do it ahead. Okay.
Because we could actually end up with a Board of Health that we don't know about still, right?
Well, we discussed it. Right now, there's no indication of any applications. So if something comes in, we can either postpone it to have a special Board of Health in the mid-meeting or see what activity is.
Right.
This is more important.
Yeah. So is there a motion to schedule a special meeting April 1st, 2020 at either 5 or 5:30, depending on feedback from the police chief?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next topic is an update on the budget. We had a very productive budget workshop among all of us. We discussed at that time whether we would need additional budget workshops. So the question before us tonight is whether we need more budget workshops either this tomorrow or March 26th. If we don't, we would then move. The motion would be to cancel those budget workshops, which the implication is that we would introduce the budget that we worked on. I think there'll be one or two very technical corrections, but we're out a decimal place from the CFO for introduction at the April 1st meeting, if that all works out.
The only thing I have is the library budget just was finished. I don't know if you saw it yet.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Jan did a fantastic job with all the details as to what they're asking for, so I don't know how you want to handle that.
It depends if you would consider that material or not. Are they asking for a change from last year's budget?
Yeah, I think it was just a little bit. It's not a huge change. I have to look through all the details. I thought it was $1,000 more for books or something because they're not getting the money that they had previously. I just got the email, so.
I guess let's ask, would you recommend that we find another $1,000 in the budget? I mean, $1,000 on our budget of more than $6 million is, I would say, immaterial. I mean, we'll still all know the final numbers for April 1st.
I don't think it warrants a budget meeting.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm...
So maybe I won't put you on the spot now, but maybe over the, you know, between now and April 1st, bring that up with the CFO and... See if we...
Had we added anything in that as per that request from the zoning officer, a case of legal...
Yep. The amount of the budget that we had in the last meeting included some enforcement.
Okay.
Potential in the legal budget. So I guess the motion would be to cancel the special meetings that were scheduled for
19th.
March 19th and 26th. And I don't think we need a motion to introduce on the April 1st. It's just a preview to everyone that April 1st will take.
I'll make a motion to cancel the 19th and the 26th budget workshop meetings.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, next on the agenda is the administrator's update. Now, I think we'll right after that, we'll have a wide-ranging discussion on COVID.
Yeah, so that's on my
own.
With regards, today I had my first negotiation with the CWA, and it went pretty well. I thought it went well. More of an introductory type of thing, myself, and we talked about situations that took place in 2015 and on. And we scheduled another meeting for April 8th, but I told them that I would be coming back to the subcommittee to, express their concerns and, concerns that we might have. And we left pretty amicable. It went pretty well. I pretty much, I don't want to get into too much detail, but pretty much that I was the initial groundbreaking for myself and them. And both sides were very amicable. So,
great.
And then what I'll do is I'll take all the notes that I got, and I'll make a memo, and I'll meet with the subcommittee, and then the subcommittee can report back to the township committee. But it was very amicable. Only thing is, they didn't give me any coffee, but that's okay. I have plenty of it. Okay. And the other thing, there's a few other things I just want to bring up. Due to the COVID-19, I'm not going to start my staff meeting the first week of April because we're trying to reduce the contact between employees and at a distance and stuff like that. Once we get clearance, of course, I will, go forward with that. And I'm not going to get into the COVID risk control because we're going to be talking about it very shortly. But I did speak to Steve Reese today with regards to Anthony and Slyker Road, and Warren came into my office as well about putting out that project to bid. I think it's, I think we should put it out to bid. And, once I call him, I tell him I would call him tomorrow, but he has the bid package ready, so he's probably going to make some updates on it because he had it ready prior to that with dates, and then we'll get it over to the QPA to make sure that, it gets put in properly. And then I think that's it for now because I wanted to get into the when we talked for discussion for the COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Also, any type of training, harassment training, is going to be put on hold as well because same thing for our next topic of discussion.
Okay.
Question with the Anthony Slyker bit. Is there something out there that we can look at? From that, Steve must have
designed. You want to see the packet, the bid packet?
I want to see what the design or what they're proposing.
Okay, yeah, I'll get that. I'll have Steve send that over.
I also want to ask you, I know you're still working on the, oh my God, I lost the word.
Personal policy and procedures?
Yes, personal policy and procedures.
Yeah, I'm still working on it. I'm almost done with it. I just had.
When you are done with that, are we going to be able to see what's been changed or added?
Oh, what'll happen is. It's actually nothing's been changed. It's a new one because yours is so old, so outdated.
Okay.
From 2001, and it should have been updated in 3, 5, 7, 9, but it wasn't. So this one is pretty much it's up to date. It's actually I had two positive procedures that were given to me, but the one that Matt sent me I actually liked a lot. It's pretty much it works for the township pretty well. Yeah, you will get a copy once we, I go over with Matt, we get done, and you will take a look, the committee will take a look at it and might want to make changes to it. But just be cognizant of the fact that a lot of what's in that policy procedure manual is law. A lot of it, most of it is. It can be some things you could add to it, and change. And as long as the township committee agrees, that's fine.
But
yeah, you will get a copy of it because it has to be adopted.
I was just going to say, they'll get adopted by this.
Yeah, it gets approved and adopted by the township.
So basically, you're really just revamping the whole thing.
Yeah, it's all.
We'll strike anything that's existing in order to adopt it.
Yeah, because we don't have that.
Your pleasure.
Yeah, we don't have nothing in Word. That document is so old that I have nothing I could even. Right. But some of it is like. Template stuff like hours of work and all that kind of stuff. So that's in the other policy as well.
Horse and buggy stuff.
Huh?
Horse and buggy.
Yes. No, No, it's okay, but it's pretty standard stuff. And pretty much it protects the township from, you know, any type of, you know, but every employee has to sign off that they received it. So everybody will get a copy of it as well. But that's prior to your approval. I mean, not prior, after your approval.
Are anything, we doing anything as far as yearly evaluations for employees, or are we getting into
well, there? Yeah, that's another thing. Over in Tewksbury, I created a employee evaluation, appraisal evaluation, performance appraisal.
Performance,
that you also, I could do that for Lebanon as well, which I'll just use that template. And you guys can take a look at it, and ladies, excuse me, and take a look at it and decide how you want to determine how you really want it to be, the types of questions that are asked. Has a rating type of a thing, you know, and it's pretty standard. Not really standard. I took it from, I'll say it because he's a very good administrator, from the administrator of Wharton. So I actually liked what he had. I had something else, but when I saw what he had, he emailed it to me, so...
How does that come into play with the CWA and the police and all that? Like, is it just who? Because, you know, with appraisals, it's probably a little bit sticky when it comes to union
situations. You could ask the questions you ask questions of your employee. You rate them and stuff like that. Tewksbury has a, bargaining unit, and they use the appraisal system. I don't think any union would be opposed to it, but you don't know. I mean, you don't know.
But you could distribute that to us, and again, the committee.
Yeah, you can. I'll distribute it. I'll put our logo on it, and you guys decide how you would like to move forward with it. Mm-hmm. And basically, you would do it. Those type of reports are done every 2 years. Sometimes you might want to do it every year. That's strictly up to the township committee.
Is that something that we would discuss in public, or is that something that I was going to say? Because then if we could always even do a workshop. If it got so complicated that we all needed to really talk about it, just kind of don't even do executive session as much as like an executive session workshop, special meeting.
Well, my point is, so we have some enforcement if need be, if we have a problem with...
And usually, and that's very good, commitment. What happens is the supervisor of that department is the one that does the appraisal performance. Like I wouldn't do for DPW because I'm not their supervisor. Mm-hmm. And that's who would do it. And then the director would come back to the administrator or clerk and go over and review it. And then it would go to the township committee. And there'll be recommendations that can be made or not. You know, it's up to you. That's something that you guys would have to decide. But since you do have a union, it does make more difficult if you did want to reward somebody. That's the only difference. And that's where the collective bargaining comes in. So.
And then does the committee do the appraisal on the supervisors?
Yeah. No, usually the administrator does.
You would do it, okay.
On the supervisors. And or clerk, because you know, I'm not here all the time. So the clerk supervises, from what I understand, the clerk supervises individuals as well.
But you have, like, Warren, for example, if you didn't, I mean,
if it wouldn't be me, it would be the clerk, if you wanted it to be that way. Or it could be the township committee can also do it as well, because, that's strictly up to you guys. But usually it's done, the department heads are done by the administrator.
But it does sound like there are a lot of issues to consider for a more of a dedicated meeting on that, probably.
Right. But you know what? I'll get you a copy of it,
yeah.
And then I'll send it to everybody and take a look at it.
I've always been the belief that we have to have evaluations of our employees.
No, and that's a good point, because when you have those evaluations,
private sector,
and they got to file, and once you have those evaluations, that goes into their file.
Yep.
So and then now you have a track record, good or bad, doesn't matter, but that track record's there.
And you know, the other thing, it's interesting because there shouldn't be any surprises at the end of your evaluation. If you're giving feedback all along at different points throughout the year with specific examples, then at the end of the year, it's not like, I had no idea, you never told me to correct this or do it.
Right.
So you have to really think about things like that.
And I think there are recommendations in there. Mm-hmm. Where the supervisor will say, you're exceptional, or you need improvement here,
right.
And those type of things. And if that person doesn't improve or does improve, But it's good to have the evaluations because, you know, you get to track them, and you get to, and each employee has to sign off on it when it's all said and done as well. So
I mean, we're going to be in a situation where we're going to be getting a lot of new employees in the next, let's say, 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So don't know who we're going to end up with.
Okay.
All right.
Any other discussion for the administrator? Otherwise, let's open up the what we labeled as COVID-19 update.
Yeah.
We'll decide how far we go on that. So you see in our minutes from last meeting, we were already seeing this coming. Last week, between the clerk, myself, the administrator, I think all of us, we were sort of watching things develop day by day. Over the weekend, things seemed to develop a little further. So the three of us, the administrator, the clerk, myself, we met 8:30 Monday morning and started to really think, how do we put a short-term reaction in place for now the committee tonight to agree or disagree? So a couple of the actions we took, which the public may be aware of, we thought priority number one, of course, is the health both of the employees and of the public, but also keeping in mind continuity of operations because the government is bigger than we are and there's important functions that need to occur. So we thought it was important to close the building to the public, which is very distinctly not closing the building. So the employees are showing up, but the public needs to phone or by email request appointments. That each individual professional will determine whether that's time sensitive, whether we can postpone that, and that prioritization will change every day now, depending on how this emergency situation emerges. We put a new file cabinet right outside the door to use as a drop box. One of the items, just for everybody's knowledge, one of the items that's bringing residents in these days is the blue books for the senior tax freeze. So they need to pick up a book. They need to get it signed. That's a little bit of traffic this past week, this current week. So that's why we have the drop box. They can drop it off. They can pick it up. The tax assessor can sign them, leave it back out there. It's a little more, you know, it's watched. It's right outside the door. So that, I believe, as I understood from the clerk who is here, obviously, all the time, that the public the last few days seems to have adapted to that. We've not had issues so far.
Yes, there's been very few.
So hopefully that continues.
People coming through.
Then we also started to evaluate the potential for people to work from home. Again, life isn't going to be fair. Some people can. Their function allows them to work from home. Some of our employees, if they don't have to stand by for appointments, they really, it's in everyone's interest for them to work at home. The less traffic we have coming in and out of the building, the better. So I think between the administrator and the clerk, those discussions are had. I don't know if we want to discuss individual positions here, but where possible, where feasible, and what I'm sensing already is that I don't think there's anyone who can kind of work from home for the duration, but there are some people who maybe they come in every other week. If an employee is a one-day-a-week position, maybe they have to come in every other week to do some office work, some work they do from their computers at home.
Some come when there's off hour, you know, like it's not...
Or when there's an appointment, yeah, off hours, when there's an appointment.
Yeah.
So each of those will be playing by ear. We have the one question you may ask. We have a township fire official who goes to people's homes. He, to some extent, is taking direction from the state fire inspection department, but he has also confirmed to us that a lot of his well, let me back up a half step. We looked and said, well, we should just cancel him going to people's homes. But our ordinance for transferring real estate requires that inspection, so we don't want to prevent people from selling their home for the duration. So we discussed with him. A lot of his inspections are of empty homes or new construction, in which case he's going to have a realtor or someone else wait outside. He'll go in alone. Again, all the social distancing precautions. If there is an occupied home, the realtor is responsible for having everyone in the home leave the home, whether they wait in the garage if it's raining or whether they wait outside. He can go in. He can use a a stick or something to push buttons. He doesn't have to touch things, and he can do his inspections and satisfy. Again, these inspections are important. You know, we would hate to have a situation where we don't inspect fire alarms, and then the new family has a fire and someone, you know.
On that particular point, though, there's been guidance down from the state that it's also the requesting person's obligation to relay to the inspector that nobody in the home has traveled to or from any, and there's a list. It's Iran, it's, you know, the Hunan provinces and whatnot.
Okay.
Or been directly exposed or diagnosed.
Okay. That may have come down in the last.
It's come down in the last
48
hours.
Yeah,
I mean, the information. Nope. Yeah.
Yeah. Every statement has to be time stamped. When we heard it,
they're closing too.
They are, including
some
the state,
and they're leaving projects hanging where they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
now, Tewksbury is our construction office.
Right.
So we sort of followed there, and we saw, and this will go to a bigger discussion as well. Tewksbury issued a declaration, an emergency declaration,
right.
And it's completely up to the construction official, the way I read it, to decide if he's going to go inspect something or not.
Right.
So, you know, if it's outside,
I actually think that's a two-pronged thing. I think that it would be agreeable with the residents too if they want someone in their house. So,
well, ultimately, they have to call for the inspection first, right?
Right?
So I guess,
yeah,
they can just not ask for the inspection. But then it's up to him to decide if it's an, you know, if it's the framing and it's outside.
Yeah, that's.
And there's no one there, he can go and do it.
That's
if it's in somebody's kitchen to look at, you know, he may decide.
It's quite possible the guidance is going to change in the next 72 hours.
Exactly.
By change, I mean get more rigid. Yeah.
That's what I feel.
I mean, if the state code office is shut down,
yeah.
I can't imagine it's going to be long. We'll see.
And I know other towns have said they're not entering buildings, period.
Well, that's what it says. The guidance says unless it's an emergency inspection, which the only thing I could think of is if it's a condemnation situation and you're trying to justify getting people out of the building as opposed to getting them in, I don't know that a real estate closing is an emergency situation. I'm sure it feels like that to the person trying to lock in their mortgage and buy the house. But, again, I expect along with 300 other points of contact that'll be cleared up in the next. I have it in other towns, you know, same exact issue.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the one thing we can all agree on, it's a changing field.
Yes, for sure.
Which kind of goes to another. I hope I'm not rambling too much. I'm going to try to tie this all together a little bit. So that was Monday morning. We started putting these procedures in place, and we reevaluate them constantly. On Tuesday morning, Tom McKee, who's our liaison to OEM, convened a meeting, set up a day or so ahead of time, with Joe Maurizio, our OEM coordinator, the fire chief, the fire department representative, and the police chief. Maybe you want to give a little summary?
Sure. We kind of went back and forth over the weekend as things were changing quite quickly. Decided we should engage our local OEM, and we decided on Tuesday to have this meeting at 9 a.m. And basically, it was to get together and follow a communication chain. That was our biggest point that we wanted to take away from that meeting, that the group that was there, our police chief, our deputy chief from fire, deputy chief from EMS, Mike, myself, Karen, Jamie, that there would be a communication so that this committee is fully detailed as quickly as possible to the changes that might be going on with the OEM and anything that the OEM might be sending out to the public so you are aware of it. That was the first thing. It'll be similar to what we do now. Something comes from Joe Maurizio, our manager of our OEM, to Mike. They think it's pertinent to Karen, out to us. It can work backwards the other way. So we just wanted to make sure that there was a chain of command open, that everyone's on the same playing field as quickly as it can. I want to point out that LebanonTownshipFacebook.net has a very good website that you can click on to different things with the health, the county, the OEM, and so forth. Other discussions we had was making sure that our people were, our first responders had the equipment that they needed. And if they ran out of the equipment, where they could get the resources to replenish them. That will be handled at the OEM local end, reaching out to the county end. Another discussion we had was about community settings We know the schools are closed. We were unsure of daycares. We left local businesses alone. They seem to be adjusting themselves. And the other thing we looked into was what was the visitation on our nursing homes. We have multiple ones in this town, and how that was. I think Jamie was going to look into that, see if there's state guidance or there needs to be guidance that we would like to see. So right now, again, it's changing, but that was the big take on it, and we looked further down the road into the elections, polling, so forth, and then quarantine and legal. I'm not an alarmist. I'm just a realist. So that's where our discussion ended. And again, the biggest point was the communication so that this group, I would not want to have something put out there that you weren't aware of. So that's what our concern was.
So that, I'd like to now touch on another topic. We're seeing in a lot of other towns, as I just mentioned, Tewksbury issued a local declaration, emergency declaration. We have not done that because of our specific circumstances, and I'll ask the attorney to jump in at any moment. But so that everybody, this committee knows, if we issue a emergency declaration, that gives our emergency management coordinator the authority to run the town. He can override ordinances. He can take whatever action is required to run the town. The if you see the documents from other town, the mayor signs it just attesting that now the OEM does it. Talking to Joe Maurizio, the nature of the emergency that we have here, he's not 40 hours a week in the building. He wouldn't have as much feel for, do we close to the public, how do we deal with the blue books, etc. So we're in full communication, but he's comfortable with the people who are here 40 hours a week providing that. In talking to our attorney, we're not seeing emergency needs to change ordinances.
Not yet. There could be things that we're confronted with that we can only accomplish by invoking or having him invoke.
Yeah.
So right now, and nothing's been presented to me that would absolutely require it. There are obviously towns that are dealing with a lot more in numbers and in limited resources and whatnot, where then a lot of the towns that have declared it simply mirrors the governor's, which we're under anyway.
As the attorney told me, the federal, state, county emergency declarations supersede whatever we do locally. So
right.
The fact that they've done them, the powers that they have transferred down
right.
to us.
Right. Like Tom was mentioning, we have some unique situations in our town. If we have to take action on them, that's going to most likely be our only path.
Our only path, correct.
Right. But the county wouldn't necessarily do that. They're not as hands-on. They don't know what that situation is.
So I just want the whole committee to be aware, if anyone were to ask her for your own information, well, why haven't we done one? We're evaluating twice a day whether we see an issue that requires it, and then we would do it. So far we haven't. So we haven't done just a blanket one.
Yeah, can I follow up on that?
Please.
I spoke to our OEM coordinator, Joe Maurizio, on that topic today, and he reviewed our decision that we had made to not do an emergency declaration and reviewed it with Brendan Fahey, the OEM of the county, and he was full agreement that right now what we're doing is the right thing to do. It would be redundant for us to continue what the county has already done. So okay. I followed up with Joe on that today.
Just for a point of clarification, though, because I might have there might be a misunderstanding. We can't, if Joe determines it, we can't stop him.
Understood.
It's not a vote. It's not. We don't override him. We don't prevent him. He has the statutory authority to step in. He could be doing it out in the parking lot right now, but just so we're clear.
And that's what
saying is there's an ongoing, as he does have an obligation to confer with the electeds, which is obviously happening. Confer does not mean approve. It's a slight difference in language, but
right?
It's a big difference.
Even though our basic plan has that, the conversation needs to be with us, the team.
He has to confer.
Okay.
He absolutely has to confer. I'm just saying the end result, if there's a disagreement, the tie goes to the designated coordinator. He has that statutory authority.
If there is a reason where we had to make a decision as a committee on an emergency basis, do we have to put a notice in the paper, and is there a procedure? I thought I saw something.
Yeah, there's a procedure to conduct an emergency meeting.
Like you can we can do it without a lot of rigmarole, right?
Yeah, I can give you the exact.
You don't have to do it now.
No, okay, I can do it before we leave.
I'd feel comfortable if I knew that at least if we had to convene, we could do it quickly.
But again, we don't have to convene for the coordinator to proclaim.
Right.
So he could step in and say, I'm not going to wait for you guys to decide in 2 hours.
Right.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah, if it were a Thursday afternoon and it needed to be done and we couldn't get a quorum in place and, you know, it's something that needed to happen immediately, he has that statutory authority to invoke.
Okay, but if we were around on a Thursday afternoon and we needed to be here for some reason on a Thursday afternoon, do we have to notice it? Or can we just do it?
I'll give you the parameters.
I think what we could do also is a decision can be made through Karen, reply to Karen only on the topic, what our position is, to Joe Marizio to get that to move if we had to.
Mm. See what he says.
Yeah,
that's a little gray, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, if we all stay healthy, we should be okay, I'm thinking.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, let's. Yeah. That's,
you guys stay
agree.
Healthy.
Agree.
And what happens when Joe gets sick?
Well, there's a deputy OEM. Who's that? Do we have a deputy?
We actually filled the deputy.
I don't think we did.
I know he's talking to somebody.
I don't believe we have.
I don't think we filled it, though.
Yeah. Maybe we need one.
The liaison becomes it.
The standard is.
What happened here? Why did I get this?
Yeah, that's why we did that.
You know, you take your eyes off the ball for a minute, look what happens.
I volunteered, Tom.
He's got it.
Yeah, the standard is to address Committee Woman Kohler's query is there's no notice requirement if 3/4 of the members are present and agree that it's emergent to find the matter is of such urgency and importance that a delay to provide notice would likely result in substantial harm to the public interest. And it's thereafter limited to the matters of emergent nature.
And what's 3/4 of us? What would that be? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's 3/4 of 5?
Well, 4.
Majority, I think.
It's 4.
Four. So it's like a super quorum.
Yeah,
super majority.
Because it has to be, because 3 would only be 60.
Oh, I think Joe's pretty level-headed.
And that's what I want to emphasize here.
I have some faith in him.
We have a good dialogue with him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've triggered the dialogue. He's in the building. Obviously, Tom's talking to him daily now. So I don't anticipate anything going wrong here, but we have him in place if something needs to be done.
That's our plan.
We're in an emergency environment, so there we are.
Tom's a great deputy.
Yep, good one, too.
Yeah.
Better watch.
He shows up at all the meetings.
Long experience.
He shows up at all the meetings.
Every meeting, yeah. So now a couple of items that we're now looking for the committee to provide some input on. So things where we were able to anticipate it earlier or the decision needed to be made, you know, 10 a.m. Monday morning, we put the sign up, the building was closed to the public. A couple of things on parks. Based on discussion with the attorney and probably preemptively, it's an obvious thing, the pavilion gets rented out for relatively large events. Given that the mandate from the higher levels is gatherings shouldn't be bigger than 10, I think it's pretty clear that we have to cancel, while that mandate is in place, we should cancel reserved events in township facilities. Then there's a question of what about the whole park? If we see children playing in the playground, do we tell the police to disperse them? If we see people playing basketball, is it our obligation to chain that up? And then, you know, 2 people can't play, but 20 people can't either, you know. So I think, as I understand it from the attorney as well, we have an education obligation, and I think everyone is understanding the obligation for being healthy and social distancing. But I think if people are going stir-crazy in their house and they want to come play basketball, I don't think we should chain it shut. But we have to monitor it. If we see a league starting up and we think it's a potential hotspot, we'll take action. But for now, I would suggest we cancel reserved events. And I think even out to June, we maybe tell people who've reserved that if the 10-person limit is still in place from the federal and state, you may be canceled, but we're not canceling you any further out than we have to. But we leave the parks open and just monitor that we don't have organized groups
The guidance from the state is to cancel community organized, municipal organized recreation through the end of May.
Okay.
So, you know, soccer leagues or, I mean, I don't know how you rent a pavilion and expect it's going to be a gathering in excess of the guidelines.
Plus the state, what they enacted was only passive recreation in their parks. And some other towns have done the same thing. It's all passive walking and stuff like that. But they don't permit any sports or activities. So, but I don't know how you enforce.
Well, organized sports.
Yeah.
Again, if two people playing a game of horse on the basketball court, if that's passive or if that's active, I wouldn't want to restrict that. That's why I say I think if we see a group of 20 showing up because every place else is closed, then we have the police disperse it.
Right. The Monday group that used to go to Wood Glen now shows up there.
Right.
You know.
Well, like Tom was saying, 72 hours, things could change. So
exactly.
Let's just monitor it.
If the state tells us groups of two are not to be had, then we... Well, we just follow it.
Could be siblings playing too, so we're living in the same home. So yeah,
and that's what we said as well. If there are four kids from the same family playing in the, whether they're playing in their own backyard or our park,
there's no social distancing for people living in the same home, even in towns that are under complete lockdown. So.
So yeah, and with that, though, I mean, while they may have already done that, is the next door. I don't know what they're renting.
I believe the fire department already canceled all usage. The Zumba class and things were already
canceled.
Pancake
breakfast, yeah.
Pancake.
Historians canceled an outdoor discussion that they had. I called them to tell them they would need to cancel, and they had already done it. So some
Easter egg hunt
groups are
canceled.
Taking it upon themselves to, if there's more than 10, to cancel.
Right.
So sad.
Yes,
So I didn't hear that a few hours ago. Now I heard that the state recommendation is any organized events canceled
municipal.
Through the end of May.
Any municipal recreation.
Municipal recreation events.
So
we will definitely do that, including any pavilion rentals.
With an emphasis on senior gatherings.
So now a related question is, we've got a number of, you know, assuming that this, now we're looking April and May, we've got standing committees that are going to have meetings. The question is, do we take a stance that say we cancel all of those, or do we tell them if they're able to be social distancing, like we are here tonight? We tell them, look, let me make a proposal and then for discussion. I think our guidance to them should be, if there's nothing urgent going on, we suggest you cancel your April and May standing committee meetings. There I'm talking about the library committee, the historians, the park committee, the rec committee, etc. Now, our park committee manages our park. They have to take action. Like they're the ones that hire the cleaning service and the like. They may say, no, that would be not the right choice to cancel it. We would then guide them, okay, if you're going to have a meeting like we are here, spread yourself out, encourage and authorize participants to call in. If somebody's got a reason not to be in public, let them call in.
I don't know if that number falls more than 10.
I don't know where we're at.
Yeah. Hearing what I just heard. That's the only concern.
I don't know that
our
standing committees are more than 10.
No.
I mean, unless there's pressing business, everything in front of me and everything that keeps coming down says don't do it, particularly in a public building. If there's law enforcement involved, because you lose the building, you could lose the whole force.
And I'm agreeing if there's no pressing business to cancel it. The question is, do we want them to defend public pressing business? And to me, a real example is the park committee, who takes care of the cleaning service at the park.
What if we put out a memo to them that if they have some time-sensitive, urgent thing, to contact us
that's
for guidance?
That's I think the right
to go from there.
And if there's a decision that needs to be made, that then we can make it. Or I mean, there's if there's a bill that needs to get paid or something like that.
I mean, because the reason we're not letting the public in here to conduct business is to protect the staff, the infrastructure too. You know, the whole working of our government. And if one of those meetings has 22 people in it, you know, all these other efforts go out the window quickly.
Yeah. I'm inclined to just say there's
Could
no...
Could we put a map? Go ahead.
I'm inclined to say there's no standing committee meetings to follow that. You know, if you can't have Venus Recreation, I don't see anything... I don't know of anything EOC, you know, any of those groups really need to meet. They could miss two meetings. The only ones I think that would be potentially have an issue because of limitations in time frame, but I don't know where that, if it's a state's emergency,
we could defer it to our next, we could say from now to our next meeting.
Yeah.
Between now and the next time we convene, whether it's physically or on the phone with all of us, things could change dramatically.
Right.
I like Brian's suggestion that we definitively cancel all of them through the end of May, and if a committee has pressing business, send a memo.
Goes to the liaison to the
committee.
Send it to your liaison.
You don't want people to feel compelled, like that are dedicated to these boards either, to leave for their house for a reason they're somewhat uncomfortable with, and they. But out of we have it at our office. We have people who are in a high risk and saying stay home, work from home, and and they feel it's somewhat of a challenge, and we'll be in. No, you won't.
So as we're going through this discussion, I'm also trying to keep in mind what topics we need to make a motion on and what we don't. Should we take a motion on canceling standing committee meetings through the end of May?
Yeah, I would.
We'll call that out separately now.
And is that? And we're not. And this doesn't, because I think Board of Adjustments and Planning Board have fallen to a different category. Is that correct, Matt?
Yes, because it's a statutory board, and the problem is that there's automatic approvals granted. If those meetings don't, if certain timelines aren't met, as everybody knows. So,
and just to state it as well, because of the quasi-judiciary nature of those meetings, they can't be done telephonically under current guidance like this meeting has been. So that those two boards, they also have their own attorney representation, I think will work directly with those boards.
That is probably going to be an issue that in order to avoid the automatic approvals that we may have to invoke an emergency to not hold meetings for more than a month or to have more than a month in between meetings.
As I understand it, because we would have to change an ordinance and that would take us
a
month of meetings.
State law that, so that's something. And I don't know what's pending, as you said. I don't review their agenda. I don't know if there is anything. But it's certainly, towns are very, very aware of that. And we expect, again, I sound like a broken record, but we do expect clearer guidance on that within the next, before the end of the business Friday. So there's 18, there was 16, now there's 18 bills pending addressing a lot of these issues, including OPRA, public bidding, meetings, everything. So
the motion that I'll put on the table for someone to make if they would like to would be to cancel our standing committee meetings through the end of May, subject to one of those committees could contact their liaison if they would like to notify us of pressing business, and we would handle that in another manner. And to be clear, this does not apply to the Planning Board and the Board of Adjustment, which will have their own decision making.
Is that to the end of May?
Through the end of May.
Okay.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. For Karen, Jamie, or Matt, for some of the other topics we've discussed, should we take any motions on those, or are those administrative so far? Closing the building to the public?
I would vote on that.
Okay.
And I would vote on it on, until further action or a set dead timeline. I don't know what other date other than
until the emergency state of emergency is lifted. Yeah.
So that motion would be that that all township buildings are closed to the public until the pandemic or the state of emergency in New Jersey has been lifted. Residents are encouraged by phone or email to make appointments, and those appointments will be considered on a case-by-case basis, keeping in mind time sensitivity and the pandemic status.
Yeah.
So that's the motion on the table.
I'll second.
No, that's...
I'll make the motion then.
Second. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. For the parks, should we make a motion to cancel all
municipal
rentals of facilities?
Yes.
Through the end of May, and to advise rentals, I would suggest we advise rentals through the end of, let's say, July, then, of the potential for cancellation. I would just like to give people, make sure they have a heads up if they've got a big event, and they, you know, let's say they've got a caterer or a band or whatever, that we don't surprise
if
them.
If the social distancing restrictions aren't lifted.
Exactly.
Are we refunding through May?
That's a good
what's
question.
What's the fee?
That's a good
pavilions?
Question.
It depends on the event, what it would be.
I would say we should refund through May then.
We should reimburse.
I think we should refund.
Everyone, regardless of the number. I agree with that too.
Yeah, if somebody paid a rental on a pavilion or a hall, if they prepaid.
Exactly.
I think we reimburse.
Yeah, I would think you would under these circumstances.
But we're not responsible for any costs that they may incur. If they've already made a deposit.
No,
or
not
under
a state of emergency. Exactly. No, no. Okay. And if we canceled the day before because we double booked it, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Something on there?
Let's take that as a separate, outside the motion. So the motion would be to cancel all park and other municipal events, private events using municipal facilities through the end of May, to reimburse any deposits or payments that have been made by third parties, private parties, and to alert any rentals through the end of July of the possibility, if the pandemic or the state of emergency in New Jersey has not been lifted, that they're subject to cancellation.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes. I'd also say at this point we're going to I'd cancel the volunteer.
Yes.
I said yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry. I'd also say let's cancel the volunteer event on the 6th because, I mean, it's so
that's
close.
June 6th.
Because we're not going to have timing to coordinate.
Oh, yeah.
It's just not going to have timing to coordinate if we know when it's lifted. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I just say let's just say we're going to cancel that at this point.
That's a motion?
That's a motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. As I said at the beginning, we got a long list of things to discuss. Any other topics related to our emergency procedures that we need a motion on? I think we've covered the big
items. Let me just ask one question, and we might not even know the answer. When OEM, EMS, EMTs put out a communication on Twitter, sometimes they're pretty descriptive. So if somebody calls and says, oh, we have coronavirus, how are they handling that? Are they not to say?
I think 911 is screening possible COVID-19 calls. So there's a certain protocol, and I don't know the particulars about it, but there is a distinguishing call that they vet that call to allow the arriving crew to understand what they may be up against. And I'd like to follow up on that to say there's also protocol now on a potential symptomatic patient transportation. They are detaining the rescue squad, ambulance, and crew for disinfectant gear and ambulance. Mm-hmm. So there may be a delay in our rigs getting back to Lebanon Township as well as our EMTs. So we may be looking at a reimbursement program potentially for new EMTs to fill the void. It's not there yet. We haven't reached that, but there's a whole protocol for them to act on.
Well, and I'm thinking more from the public. That's all real great information too, but the public standpoint, if somebody sees something on Twitter, will it say potential corona? Virus.
I doubt it.
I can address one point on that. Yesterday I was on a state OEM type call where there were a number of EMS departments around the state begging to know, and actually town managers as well, begging to know, if someone is diagnosed at, you know, 12 Main Street, shouldn't we know that? And apparently for the EMS and police, it goes into the call. The county dispatch knows that address.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if emergency is a, you know, dispatched to that location, they tell them that location has a diagnosed person. We're not able to know that because of HIPAA laws.
Right.
So it's not made available to the public or someone who doesn't need to know. And now what I don't know is whether that goes across the police scanner.
Yeah.
And that there are panic. People listening into that. So I don't know that detail.
Know. Yeah.
But the and part of the argument was that apparently so far it hasn't made it to fire calls, and the fire department was very much like, if we're going in to rescue somebody, we should know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That may have changed from yesterday to today, but they're working through all of those types of issues.
There are towns that aren't sending police into medical calls.
That are or not?
Are not.
Well, we discussed that the other morning with our police chief. Historically, and this is good news, bad news, before we had paid EMS, our police would always get to a site first.
That's right.
They said the good news is now that we have paid EMS, the EMS is almost getting there before our police. But our police now have modified their procedure where they will wait on the driveway. And they said if the EMS says, look, it's a huge situation, we need help carrying downstairs, they'll don their gear and go help. But otherwise, they'll stand outside. They also said if it's a like defibrillator case and they get there first, they'll
right.
go in and
somebody
do
needs a CPR.
On a case-by-case basis, they'll now wait outside, let the EMS that's geared up to do it handle it. It's case by case.
It's snowballing a little bit there, yeah.
Yeah, and the close quarters with that all the first responders work in is why the AG put out those guidelines, because, again, you lose one member of a squad, you could very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's why I was so glad to hear we can backfill with our four Class 3 SLEOs.
Yes.
Yeah, with the schools closed, it's perfect.
It's perfect for us, and that's a real advantage of having the high school.
I guess they'll just
town.
Be in plain clothes. I don't think they have uniforms, right?
No, they have. Well, they have school uniforms.
They, no, they are.
And they, everyone has a patch that says Lebanon Township Police.
I didn't think they had full uniforms.
They look
they have casual uniforms. They don't have the
casual.
They don't have the dress uniforms.
Good.
But they're
identified.
And badged. And
sure. They can answer calls. That's all.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they're fully empowered now. So. Anything else you think that we should
get
a committee input on? I think.
No, I think you covered
I think
a lot,
we covered everything.
Well, it'll change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We covered it
tomorrow.
For tonight. So. So unless anyone else has anything, we've got a couple other new business items.
I'm sorry, but this has happened in a lot of our other towns. It fits in here. Is we do have to consider, I know we have or we may have, but our next meeting could be none of us here or Karen or I here, somebody here to turn on the recording device. I mean, there's towns that are already doing that because some, due to exposure issues in other counties.
So, let me share my thoughts because I previewed that. As I understood from Karen, our clerk, it's very short notice we can cancel a meeting. Mm-hmm. So I don't think tonight we should cancel our April 1st meeting.
No, not at all. I'm not recommending that.
So, but if the pandemic is getting worse or if circumstances change, we could cancel on short notice. But what I think, going to your point, if we decide that it's not bad, we still want to have it, but maybe we want to proactively say, look, for continuity, we want two people phoning in, two committee members phoning in and not being present, or like you said, only one, maybe just the clerk and myself to physically run the meeting and everyone else does it by phone, just to really isolate ourselves.
Well, between everyone here, do you have a feel for our agenda for next meeting yet?
Well, we need the meeting. Well, it would be ideal to have the meeting. We've got a second ordinance, meeting on an ordinance to adopt and a few things. So I think we keep it scheduled as of now.
Right, I'm not saying not scheduled, just seeing if it was even necessary.
Well, how do you approve the vouchers if you don't, I mean, can you...
Yeah.
Don't you have to approve the vouchers?
Theoretically, we now passed a resolution where the CFO and I can keep the bills being paid.
Okay.
Till
so
we
the
have
money
a
will
meeting.
Still,
yeah, the recurring bills.
But if we want to set up a procedure of asking people not to attend, we can just have the clerk inform
Well, let's have a discussion when we get to that point.
Okay.
Cause that's we'll be here until tomorrow. Yes.
I was more asking whether we needed to do anything tonight or.
No, we don't need to do anything tonight.
Well, if we're here tomorrow, it might change. We might be able to.
It may, and that's it. We may be on a no meeting. We may be absolved of the decision between now and then. And the other thing is we may want to take two pieces of action that are Corona 19 driven that. Instead of throwing together an emergency meeting, if it can wait, we're fortunate we meet regularly.
Right.
Some towns only meet once a month, so you skip a meeting, you're in a lot of trouble. So we, the answer is yes, we can figure that out, and we could have the meeting where as long as we can electronically figure it out, where nobody's physically here.
Yeah,
if that's what we have
with
to
little
do.
iPads with our faces on it, you know.
Okay. And if for some reason we couldn't figure out this recording equipment and Karen wasn't here, we can just get a recorder, right? You can use.
Well, there are services that do what we're doing now, and it's transcribed verbatim. So we could do that. If that.
But there's also GoToMeeting things that have recordings.
Exactly.
Like we could pay for a GoToMeeting and it's built into the recording.
I think what we're using tonight has
like
an
option. It records the whole process as part of the function. So. Yeah, I mean, there's services out there we could use.
Are we required to record the meeting now?
In under what circumstance?
Are we required? No.
I just, if
we had to and we didn't record it, it wouldn't be like a violation of anything.
I'm just saying if you're physically not here and we don't have a recording,
that would
as
be
to how
instance,
we're
going
to get minutes, what occurred.
The attorney would have to do.
But if I was,
I know.
If we did
I
had
to do two
home
things
somehow
at once. That could be difficult, Brian.
But if we did a
Karen
telephonic meeting properly noticed, you could take minutes. Over the
phone.
So
it's not like it's a violation if we don't record the meeting.
No, in the minutes, Karen and I have had this. The minutes have to show what actually occurred at the meeting. They don't have to be.
Only thing is, you can't have a public session, really.
Well, we can arrange a conference number like we did tonight. We'll do our best to.
The only limitation from the guidelines is that if we're going to do that, is to refrain from closed.
Right.
And the reason is, you could have. You can't monitor who is and isn't taking part in an electronic closed session. So,
and I think as the spirit of our discussion here tonight, if it's not an urgent matter and we're not able to be physically around, we'll trim down the agenda to the urgent matters, and we won't decide paint color or something. We don't have to.
We got five windows. We can each stand on the
window. No talk about the garage floor.
At least we got that.
That's true.
So,
well done, Jeff.
Okay.
We'll move on to a couple other of the new business items. One you'll see in front of you, we have some proposals for appraisal. Our township resident, Mr. Nicholson, and his wife offered the consideration for preserving a piece of property in the township. I've solicited, and you have in front of you, three different proposals. The issue here is they range from $2,350 to $2,750, with the middle one at $2,400. I would note that half of this has been agreed to be paid for by the New Jersey Water Supply Authority, since we're in one of their critical districts. They offer to pay some of these expenses. We have used the firm of Norm Goldberg, which is $50 above the lowest price. Just because we've used him before, we have a familiarity. I have high confidence that we know that he knows how to get through the Green Acres procedure and the like. So even though it's $50 more, and I did ask New Jersey Water Supply Authority, they're comfortable with that as well. I'd be inclined to go with to recommend that we engage Norm Goldberg Incorporated to do that appraisal.
Does this come out of open space funds?
It will come out of open space, and whatever approval there's a process after we discussed this in executive committees a couple of meetings ago. That triggered me to fill out as open space coordinator. I filled out the Green Acres pre-appraisal questionnaire. Sent that in. They had a couple questions, which now I'm at the point of filling out the Green Acres pre-appraisal reference map checklist. And the contact was out this week, so it's subject to getting one or two more pieces of information certified by Green Acres, and then we can have the appraisal done.
Why is an appraisal so much money for a vacant piece of land?
I think because of the Green Acres. What they have to do, they have to now appraise it, then they have to send it in to get it approved by Green Acres, so there's just, it's just a big bureaucratic.
Then you have to do paperwork?
Yeah, bureaucratic.
And who's going to pay to get this thing surveyed?
That would come out of typically the buyer, in any transaction, a buyer surveys. And
this is that property that Mark said was wet, mostly wet, or a lot of...
It's probably, I would, there's about 7 acres of it that I'm estimating, because the deed doesn't specify the number, that's in a conservation easement for wetlands that includes the 150-foot buffer. But there is a buildable site that's not restricted on that property.
There is a buildable site.
There's a buildable site.
So why would we want to take it off the tax, Matt?
As we discussed in executive, because it's in between two township-owned preserved properties, which is contiguous to a third, our Environmental Open Space Commission has recommended that it would create a larger contiguous piece of preserved property for passive recreation and wildlife habitat.
Will we be able to hunt there?
We're currently working on hunting the two adjoining properties. This would allow more hunting potential.
Yeah, it'd open it up more.
Yeah. So is there a motion to engage one of the appraisers, and specifically Norm Goldberg?
I'd like to make a motion to engage Mr. Goldberg. We've worked with him in the past. It's a reasonable amount of money that he is compared to the low bid. We're talking about $50. He's offered his professional service before for him. I think that we should use him in this appraisal process for 16-24 Shady Lane, Block 49, Lot 89, Lebanon Township.
I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Then the next item, our DPW manager has requested to put out for bid blacktop. Now that I think all of us on the committee have been on here enough years to know that while we are a member of a co-op where we can buy blacktop on a state contract, there's a producer out in the past years. We have gotten better pricing and better material by going out to bid, and so Warner's requesting that we go out to bid to see if we get a better price than the co-op.
I'll make a motion for Warren to go out to bid for blacktop.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 On that, can we just insert, I sent something over today about dropping off bids on the Corona. Just insert that into the bid specs so that
follow
about Dropbox and opening and all that stuff. Thanks.
That's a good point. Okay. Secondly, and Ms. Kohler as liaison, jump in anytime you want to here, but the DPW manager has also requested advertising for summer help. Mm-hmm. Any comments you'd like to make on that, or just
no?
So
standard.
This would be paid for out of our Clean Communities grant. It would be he's looking for two people, rate of pay that we've used in the past of $15 to $17.50, depending on the actual experience of the candidate, and he would look to employ them from June until September 4th.
And review the applications with me.
With the liaison, rather than so, we would authorize. We would authorize the hiring without interviews by the whole committee based on recommendation of the DPW manager and the liaison.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then we have, as you know, we've been doing renovation at the museum for the past some time. The electrical work was done. That left some holes in the ceiling, and the ceiling hasn't been painted for quite some time, meaning, well, hard to know if it's in the past 15 years or the past 25 years. So we got a couple of bids for painting. I would like to recommend Stan Zemenik, who has not only the lowest price of $1,335, he happens to be a township resident, lives up the road on Muskingum River Road, and it actually turns out that he painted that building last, the exterior, about 12 years ago. So we do have a second bid, and we had calls out to a third bid, which didn't actually provide a quote. So we're following our rules.
GBI, was that Guy?
Yeah, that's Guy. Yeah. You see, he came in at 1600.
I think he does live in the township.
Not anymore. He used to live in the township. He lives just out.
Yeah, used to be my neighbor years ago.
Probably.
Yeah.
He painted the library last time that was painted.
So he moved out again.
That's what he told me. He lives in the area, but not.
I thought maybe he kept his old address or something. Calfon Post Office. Field Post Office.
But the low bid of Stan Zemenik.
So you need a motion?
Motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve Stan Zemenik's painting and paper hanging estimate at $1,335.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And next we have from the... from Joanne Fasinelli, our recycling coordinator. The township needs to fill out a certification that we will comply with the requirements of the of the 2019 recycling tonnage report. She's attached all those requirements, and she's asking for a motion, or I'm asking for a motion to authorize the mayor to sign that we will comply with the requirements of the tonnage report.
All right. Discussion. I'll make the motion to allow the mayor to sign the tonnage 2009. That we will comply with the Chapter 26 recycling rules is really what it is, huh?
Yeah.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And so that's the end of the agenda for new business. And if anyone has any other new business to bring up, with that we could go to the presentation of vouchers.
I have one, and it's for Morton Salt. For salt.
Use it.
Yeah, that's right. He can't find any salt in the stores. Yeah, for road salt. For $9,167.92.
Is it?
I have one.
Really?
For SDG Security, for annual monitoring of the police, municipal buildings, fire alarm inspection testing service agreement, $2,107.
I've got a couple. First, for Bourne and Bourne Associates in the amount of $3,560. This is for their survey work for the open space acquisition of the 2 acres from Ms. Giaquinto. That work has been completed. This would be paid for out of the open space trust fund. Another one for Ralph and Carol Mussorino. This is a return of a construction escrow related to Block 54, Lot 1801, the amount of $7,111. And then I have our statewide insurance fund payment 2 of 4 for our annual workers' compensation and umbrella liability policy in the total amount of $50,352.25.
First one I have from Griffith Allied Trucking for fuel for the police, $1,104.04. The other is from B&R Uniform for police uniform items for $1,005.65. That's it.
I have one here that qualifies for Gephardt and Kiefer for general services rendered for February in the amount of $2,084.
So the total voucher list is $87,046.19. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And if you'll indulge me for a moment, there is another piece of new business that I just forgot. Our current committee liaison to the zoning officer would like to step down from that position, and I would like to propose that Bev Kohler, who is on the planning board and as it would be a natural interface, take over the liaison to the zoning officer.
I accept.
Do we need a vote for that?
No. It's your appointment, isn't it?
Yeah.
You want to vote?
No, good.
Okay, so that we'll update the website that any issues related to the zoning officer will go to Ms. Kohler, which then takes us to correspondence, curator's report.
Other than we know they're closed now to the public, our curator and assistant curator remain in the building doing what they can to digitalize and catalog historical artifacts, and unfortunately some of their closing receptions will now be postponed, and hopefully they'll have another time to do those.
Next report from the recycling coordinator. She is scheduling a date for the, along with Warren Gabriel, the spring cleanup event scheduled, they're proposing April 18th, 2020. Now,
yes,
I saw an update from the county. As the county is canceling events, the county is keeping their recycling event, their electronics recycling event, which is within a week of this. They are implementing policies for social distancing, meaning people, residents who show up have to stay in their vehicles. They have to have their items either in the back of a bed of a truck or a trunk or a hatchback. Personnel will unload it from their vehicles, and so they're continuing to do that. I did discuss this with Warren, was here earlier. What we thought we should do is approve it. Warren said he can cancel the dumpsters a few days ahead of time. So we would leave it to Warren's judgment that if the pandemic gets worse and it's clearly a mistake to do it, right, we cancel it. If Warren feels we can put in a social distancing procedure like the county has, it is important to a lot of our residents. We do one in the fall, so it wouldn't make sense to postpone it. We either do it or cancel it. But that's a committee decision.
I've actually seen a couple people that have trailers already filled with stuff.
Exactly.
I'm wondering if people, I don't know how long it lives on that recycle. Can you know? Should they wear gloves or something?
I'm sure. That's what I mean. We'll have Warren
have a procedure at least. That our guys take the.
Yeah.
Wear gloves.
Yeah.
Do our guys have to touch it?
Well, that's that. I think we'll rely on Warren to design a procedure because he's done that so many times. We don't really know.
I mean, if the person was able to put it in their car, shouldn't they be able to take it out?
Throw it in the front of the bucket loader. And
maybe it'll have to slow things down a little bit because people will have to put it in a bucket loader. Our DPW personnel can stay in the loader.
Turn the machine off, obviously. Right?
Yep. So no personal interaction.
We'll see what happens.
So we either, I think right now we should either decide, do we cancel
it? Yeah, because the glove protocol is not going to be enough if they're going to be dealing with dozens.
Yeah, no, that's it. Yeah. Warren knows how to do that, but I guess the question is, do we approve it contingent on Warren?
I also maybe we approve it right now. I'd like to see what Warren thinks is his best path, and we'll see what the eight. I mean, we're talking another month from now. It may be a whole new point.
But, exactly, that's what I.
You know, but I think, I mean, realistically, as I said, is like if a person can load it in their car, we may require them to like, okay, and be aware that you're going to be unloading this into a bucket to keep a distance from our staff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's far enough out there, we'll see.
Yeah, but we have another meeting, theoretically, to make that decision.
Theoretically.
This is going a little bit along those lines, but a little off topic. If for some reason this pandemic did take out our DPW, did you guys have backup plans for that?
I jump on my little backup.
Oh yeah, I mean, do we go homestead? I know it's off topic. I just was,
well, let's do this motion then.
Yeah.
And address
I'll try to do backup.
Is there a motion to approve?
No problem. I got it.
Approve the April 18th cleanup event.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Now going to your point, if every member of our DPW had coronavirus or something and were completely incapacitated, I think that's where the state is giving us emergency procurement rules. The OEM could step in. We could hire a local contractor if one is available to be on standby if a tree goes down in the middle of the night. all of these things, I don't think we can predict or put a...
Yeah. Can we waive insurance requirements and things like that for emergency situations so that somebody
that
like...
That certainly wouldn't be our first choice.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't advise we do that. I mean, I guess just as we always do, we're going to get into a cost-benefit analysis if there's nobody available and the roads are closed and...
I read something today, and there'll be experts on this, and we can rely on our QPA, our qualified person as well, something about the business registration certificate. You wouldn't have to have that ahead of time, but you still
correct,
have to
you
get
have
it
to have
afterwards.
It you get paid.
You have to get it before you get
you
paid.
Go out and do, you can be procured and go out and do the work, but you're not getting paid until you present it.
Mm-hmm. So they're putting in a lot of technical...
So in other words, Brian couldn't get in that truck and do it if he wanted to.
As a volunteer, he might be able to.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, there are people that could
maybe
volunteer
not in the township
that know how to do it.
I don't think, I mean, we'll have to, I doubt if he could use township equipment, but if a volunteer, we'd have to see.
There's all kind of issues that's going to raise.
Let's see, the last snowstorm I remember in April was April 25th. I was in Aruba years ago, 1983. Could happen. That's what I was saying.
No, exactly. No.
You know? Well, you
I
know.
Mean, a tree goes down for a lot of different reasons, and we can't
windstorm.
Just have roads blocked indefinitely. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Got my own tractor.
Chainsaw and back, but we'll travel.
Tom's got a tractor. He's a...
Again?
Back to the farmers.
Debbie.
Like they used to.
Send the farmers out.
Next correspondence item is from Joanne Presinelli as well regarding the 2020 paper shredding event. This she's asking to schedule September 5th, 2020 from 9 until noon. This gets paid for out of the recycling tonnage grant, and we also get credit for it in our recycling tonnage program and points for Sustainable Jersey. This is far enough out that I think we can approve it and revisit it. She just needs to get some planning in place, hire the firm and the like.
I'll make the motion to approve the September 5th, 2020 paper shredding event from 9 till noon.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then we have the February 2020 animal control report. Anything to highlight? I didn't see anything.
I don't really see anything that...
Unusual. Okay. That takes us to our second public comment period, where the public is invited to make a comment on any topic they'd like. For those of you who may be on the phone, we're about to allow you to unmute.
All participants are unmuted.
Can you press it one more time?
Same thing.
Yep. So now...
All participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
So if anyone would like to make a comment, please press *6 on your phone, which will unmute you, and then we'll just have to coordinate whoever starts speaking first gets the floor.
We need a motion.
Sorry. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Now, if there's anyone on the phone from the public who would like to make a comment... Press *6.
How about we just do a total unmute just to make sure that if somebody doesn't, you know,
sense.
And just, okay. Can we just do,
that press
that.
*5 again?
Yeah.
No, all participants are muted.
One more.
And one more time.
All participants are unmuted.
Anybody there?
Is there anybody there that wants to make a comment?
Hearing none, I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Yep. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. One more time. Okay.
You're good at that.
Which takes the next on the agenda is potential for executive session. I have nothing that I had planned to discuss in executive session. If no one else does, then.